looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh, dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
You will dream it. Yeah, they want to know.
To be famous. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is another glorious episode of Who Weekly, not Who's There, just a normal,
glorious,
typical show.
Glorious, eh?
It's so hot.
Is it?
When will it stop being hot?
I'm not hot.
Oh.
My apartment's nice right now.
The room I'm in is hot as hell.
Really? You got to get
I'm
some
drinking
air.
Drinking an iced tea.
You got to get some air conditioning.
We only have the right. One air conditioner there.
It's
over
not
there.
A good air conditioner.
It's a terrible air conditioner. It's so bad. The window's fucked up, so you have to use the one with those pipes. Ugh, and so it's sticking out in the living room, yeah. And it's there, and it's big. Yeah. Although I gotta say, the wildest thing happened.
Yeah.
The wildest thing happened.
Uh-huh.
So I have my...
I can't wait for the story.
I have my Con Ed bill on autopay.
Yes.
A lot of my bills I don't have on autopay. But Con Ed, autopay.
Sure.
You know what the lights turn off? Gas bill, forgot to put on autopay, and then one time it just like wasn't paying for months, and the gas men came and they were like, "We're here to shut down your gas," and I was like, "Excuse you?" And they were like, "You haven't paid your bill in 6 months," and I was
That's
"Oh, whoops!"
Most New York thing ever.
They're like,
"We've been mailing
here.
You letters for years," and you're like, "What
the
letters?
Letters
I don't
did not
know.
Come. Yeah, it was no fully letters. House of Sand and Fog. No letters." And so was like, "But I was like, I'm so sorry you had to come all the way over here." And he was like, "It doesn't matter." And he like left. He was like, "Bye." So like, I wonder how often that happens. Anyway.
For millennials, so all the time.
My Con Ed bill gets paid. And then, so whatever.
What is
the
story?
I look at the bill. Okay, listen.
Okay.
Do you know how your Con Ed bill comes as a PDF and you have to like, you have to go through hoops to open it because you have to like type in the password to open it?
Yeah. Sometimes so, I just never do that, by the way.
My Con Ed bill is like pretty much our Con Ed bill, excuse me.
Is this lesson going to be like check your Con Ed bill when it's
no,
it
no,
to
no,
you?
No. Oh, okay. It's just like really wild. Okay. So it's like always pretty much the same every month, you know? It's just like pretty much the same. And you notice it when it spikes in the summer. Mm-hmm. And then for the rest of the year, it's like pretty much the same. So I hadn't looked at June because June was the first full month that that I was using like AC all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm going to look at my June bill and like see, because it came in July 25th. I was like, I want to see like, oh God, what's the damage? I'm so nervous. And I opened it on Friday because I was finally thinking about it. And I was like, oh, I just want to see. And I opened it. Lindsay, it was less than my average bill. I don't know.
Why?
And so I was like, am I crazy? Like, what is the timing? Maybe it's like a weird timing. Maybe it's actually old. And I was like, no, for use between this date, like middle of June to middle of July. And I was like,
what happened?
Lindsay, I don't know.
That's
crazy.
So
now I'm like, what the hell is happening? I don't know. Maybe the AC is somehow like very efficient. It's so efficient.
But more efficient than your... Than
giving
your,
me more electricity.
Than your...
I don't know.
That's what the story is?
Lindsay, is that an okay story?
As you were doing it, I opened my Con Ed bill because I was like, oh my God, I have never looked at a Con Ed bill. Because you were like, you know, you open your PDF. I'm like, no, I don't know. I never opened the PDF.
You have to type in your zip code is the password.
So I did. And my July 26th was pretty good, too. It was only 40 bucks. How is that possible?
How is your electric bill only 40 bucks?
I don't know. I run these ACs like...
How much is your electric bill normally?
I don't know.
Do you want me to tell you
our electric bill?
What was it the month before? Let's see.
Our electric bill is so fucking expensive, and I don't understand it. And now this one was suddenly low. I think we're being scammed.
I think you might, something might have changed.
I think there's a lawn.
So the month before it was $47, which was more. I wasn't even using it.
What's happening? Did we switch to like, did I accidentally sign up for one of those nightmare Green Mountain Energy people on like, I'm getting cheaper energy? Whoa, where they're like, we'll give you a coupon.
What if you did?
Want a coupon?
What if you
did?
Want
a coupon for AMC?
And the month before that was $45. How are my Con Eds the exact same when
it's also, how are your Con Ed bills so cheap? Something is up with my apartment.
What was it before?
I can't get into it, Lindsay. I'm just saying, side note.
Over $45?
Yes, Lindsay.
Way over, like double?
Our electric bill is always $100.
What? What are you doing? Are you hot plating in your bed?
No! I don't understand it. And I've complained to Con Ed and I've complained to the management. And there's like, there's nothing. What do you mean? There's nothing we could do about it. And I've called Con Ed and I'm like,
is there an extension cord like going out to someone else from
your
apartment?
That's what I think. I kind of think, you know what I've been assuming is that somehow like all of the lights in the hallway somehow go to ours.
No.
Or maybe, or the, because we have a communal washer and dryer for the rest. They're terrible, but they're communal for the entire building.
No.
And I think that we pay for that.
No.
Yeah, and I've asked, and they were like, we don't know how to find that out.
Con Ed.
Con Ed said that, and
you were
National
like,
Grid.
You're like, I'm trying to Nancy Grid. Drew this situation, and they're like, we can't even help you. Like, yeah, what is this? You're crazy.
I put on my Emma Roberts hat, and I was like, listen up, people. I'm going to tell you, you're going to tell me what's going on, and no one told
me what's
going
need. On. You know what you need, not to be a...
Thank God we split the. I mean, we split the bills. It's for two people.
But you know what?
But
you
even
need.
That doesn't make sense.
You know what you need?
What
you need? Wi-Fi plugs. The Wi-Fi plugs can count the electricity. Can tell you exactly how much electricity is going through those.
Oh, I know.
Those plugs, and then you can like put on your little detective's hat and your Detective LaToya.
Detective LaToya glass, magnifying glass.
Magnifying glass, and you can figure out. You should do that.
Can I tell a better story?
No, you already told your one story and it wasn't that good.
No.
And now that we've done 9 minutes of banter, including a story about fucking Con Edison.
Oh, you know, well, the reason now, here's the teaser.
No!
You'll get that banter on Patreon.
Wait, what do you mean?
Because all Patreons end with that sort of deranged banter. Begin
but
with that sort of deranged
banter.
This is
now on the main episode.
Yeah, I know, but we're giving them a teaser, content. Okay, it's like so whenever HBO, it's like when HBO gives you the free weekend and it's like, you get the free weekend. Or if it's Showtime and you're like, I don't want a free weekend of Showtime.
It's actually a good idea for us to be giving a little teaser of what kind of incredible content you get on the Patreon. Like Bobby telling a story about his electric bill.
Jesus. Okay. Okay. I don't know how we go to places where we go. So let's actually get into the episode. We're going to talk about Fom Bing Bing.
Quick update.
A quick update. And so this was sort of a really, this was actually extremely annoying to me because a lot of people were aggregating this New York Times piece on her. They had a sit down interview with her and then they sort of, the New York Times did a very New York Timesian like rundown of what happened with Fom Bing Bing. Like she disappeared and she's the most famous person like in the world, blah, 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 blah. It's tax evasion. And all of these people were quoting her. And it's like, Fom Bing Bing like speaks. She's going to tell us what happened. And it's the most vague general recap of what happened at one point in the story. I mean, it's honestly no offense. It's like terribly written. There's one point where it says like, oh, and like now that her detention is over, like she can like go back to work. And you're like, wait, what detention? You never mentioned what the detention was. There
he
are no details.
Thousands of words talking about hundreds of words talking about the whole history of her career and who she is and all that stuff. But then when you get to the part that's actually what's the interesting part, like she literally disappeared, was in detention, didn't pay taxes, ? And then like all of a sudden the state like let her go. And it was like, no one knew where she was. That's the part we need to focus on.
The only detail that I noticed that I had not heard before was that, so she ultimately did not get charged for anything or like she didn't get arrested for anything, but like her manager did.
Right.
So it was.
Oh, that's actually interesting. I didn't know that.
She was spared criminal charges, but her manager at the time, among others, see all these weird, vague moments.
Right.
Was arrested.
Who?
Was arrested. Okay.
Who else was
arrested?
But
then you say, okay, she wasn't arrested. And then you say she got released from detention. And so it's like, well, then what was the detention? How did she get this detention if that didn't begin with criminal charges? Like, nothing in this story makes any sense.
Also, her quotes are, and I understand that they're translated, like clearly they were translated from Chinese to English, but they are so vague. She literally speaks in aphorisms, and it says speaking in aphorism. Like, there's a part where it's like speaking in aphorism, you know. Yeah. It says, quote, "No one can have smooth sailing throughout the journey," Miss Fan said. Her aphorism voice with a calm, if perhaps practiced, resignation during a rare interview. So it's like they're so excited they got this rare interview that no one, it doesn't even matter what's in the interview.
We have to move on. But anyway, I was really disappointed by that.
Yeah, no, it's boring. It's boring, and it doesn't, and I hate the this always happens when people get at rare interviews and they're excited they got the person to talk and it doesn't matter what they say. It's like, well, you didn't do a good job because there's no interesting bit about this. This is just almost a state, like an interview from like the Chinese state. Like, it's creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy.
It's creepy. It's creepy. It's creepy. And the New York Times should know better. I'm sorry. And they should do better.
And by leaving out those details, it makes it worse. Like, leaving out those details makes us even more worried for Fan Bing Bing.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of nothing.
Worried. No, actually, literally speaking of nothing, we're going to talk about this really funny trend that Lindsay noticed, which is celebrities
not getting married,
really. Not actually getting married, even though they make everyone think that they got married, and they actually have wedding ceremonies that aren't legally binding.
These two had two wedding ceremonies. Yeah, so we talked about when Brody Jenner and his wife Caitlyn got married in Bali, remember? And the big deal was that Caitlyn Jenner also
that they didn't go. Kendall and Kylie.
Who's Kendall and Kylie and Kaylee?
Kendall and Kylie apparently didn't.
To be fair, Bali is so far, but they are his sisters. They didn't go. And this was, and it's actually, these two are breaking up fresh off the heels of the Hills season that they're on which they fight constantly. And that was like one of the big plot lines was like how they fight.
Getting married, putting a ring on your finger doesn't all of a sudden, like the relationship is totally different.
I came home to a psychopath. You were a nightmare.
You're making it a bigger thing.
I never said that.
And his brother Brandon and his wife, who were together for like 15 years, these two have only been together for like 1 year. Brandon and his wife Leah were together for a gajillion years, and they just broke up. They just got a divorce, and they had a band together called Brandon and Leah.
Are they going to keep the band?
No. No.
That happens.
It's not like the Wiggles. They don't need... The band wasn't successful.
I was going to say, when I was saying that happens, my only actual precedent was the Wiggles. That's the only one I was thinking of.
But I mean, the band is not popular. It's not like they started Maroon 5 and they're like, well, I guess we got to keep doing this.
I'm sorry. That's the... okay, never mind. I can't even dwell on that. It's really funny that you went to... It's not like they're popular. It's not like they're Maroon 5.
Is Maroon 5 not a popular band to you?
They're an extremely popular band and it's... there's nothing... factually and untrue about what you were saying. And actually, now that I'm thinking of a band, I would have said Coldplay. So yeah, I don't really.
It's not like they're she and him. What do you want? Like a duo? But it's not like they're.
She and him. What were their names? No, it was Zoe and who?
It's
what was
Zoe
the other guy?
And Ward. Him Ward. And she. They and them. Him, her. Who? She and she.
She and him.
Her and she. Okay.
Ward?
M. Ward. Okay. So Brody and Caitlyn are getting a divorce, but it doesn't really matter because they never really got a marriage license. So their marriage was never legally recognized. So after all of that drama about this one and that one not going to their wedding in Bali, how dare they? They didn't even make it legal with the state. Yep. Whatever. That's so annoying. I'm sorry.
They never got a license in the United States. But did they get a license in Indonesia?
No, unclear. Probably
no
not.
No one did the reporting on this. No one wanted to go the extra mile, and I do not blame them.
See, that's the thing. I guess my question is the trend like young celebrities having marriage, like having these big Tana ceremonies, and then not actually filing the proper paperwork because one,
God,
who the fuck cares?
Lindsay,
what?
It's all it all goes back to Instagram. All of it.
Why?
It's just like how food trends now are based on being photographed and shown online.
Yeah.
Now wedding trends are based on being photographed. You don't have to get into any of the legal hot water
yeah.
by actually combining your lives. You just can get the photos, which is what all of the people we're going to talk about are doing.
It's also,
oh my
like,
God, it's all the same. Everything goes back to the internet.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry.
And also, what are, like, why even get married and have to deal with, like, the possibility of, like, the complication of, like, a legal separation or, like,
yeah,
lawyers or whatever, when you could just
have
be
a party.
Like, have a party. Yeah. But also, like, why even get married, fake married at all? Just because you want to have a party and, like, you want to have photos?
Yeah, I understand the impulse to want to have a party. Like, it all makes sense. I'm not actually bemoaning the state of marriage. I'm just saying it makes sense that it's all...
I kind of am, I think. No, I mean, I just feel like it's like The Bachelor. We have all these fake weddings everywhere, you know? Yeah. Like, we have all these fiancés that go nowhere. We have all these... Mm-hmm. You know, we just have all
fiancés
of these...
that go nowhere.
Like... who else
so
do have
speaking
on this
of
list who didn't
Cara Delevingne and Ashley Benson got quote married,
but they didn't
but they had a wedding ceremony.
They did.
So it's like this is still happening.
But can I say, are they actually legally married?
I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. I think it's the same thing.
But
I don't think
I feel
they got
like
a license.
When you go to a Vegas chapel to get married, that's legal.
You don't have to. You can probably pay a little less.
They're like, so can we do the, like, the shitty Vegas wedding, but can we actually not get married? And they're like,
can we waive the $10 marriage license fee? You know, like, we'll do everything but that. They probably paid well. Who cares? Vegas doesn't care.
That's worth calling a Vegas. If you were doing, like, a trend piece, you could, like, call Vegas chapels and be like, how many people are getting married but not actually getting married?
What percentage aren't getting the certificate?
Yeah.
Because they're just doing the thing.
Have
them. Lindsay, pitch it.
To who?
Do it.
Ugh, don't
Styles.
I don't want to write that. Okay, but I'm too lazy.
No, thanks.
You do it.
No, thanks.
I guess my point is that I wonder, I guess the trend is, does it matter?
God.
Does
I just followed, I'm sorry, I just followed
matter?
Dunkin' Donuts on Twitter,
yeah,
and now
good.
It just recommended
so
I follow
good.
Burger King.
Okay, but you saw those Dunkin' tweets, they're good.
Of course.
Dunkin' was like,
it.
Is Mercury in retrograde, or is it just that I haven't had my Dunkin'? I'm like, who did you hire over the weekend? Like, who
and
is,
how do I befriend them?
Who did you hire? And, like, are they my friend? Okay, who else? Oh, you also found, this was another thing that happened, Lance Bass, God, who is so everywhere, and yet, why am I mm-hmm. here? He said that two cast members who have been married for a few years on Vanderpump Rules apparently are not legally married. He said, he claimed on some interview show, what? He said on some radio show,
it was on,
no, Strahan and Sarah.
It was on Michael Strahan, yeah.
He said, the big talk about the wedding, there was this rumor that maybe Tati and Tom could possibly not be married because they might have done their paperwork wrong. Okay, that's like hilarious. So I'm
no,
on my
and
friend's
I
podcast
him.
And I didn't know anyone
Lance
was listening
Bass.
At all. And I'm talking about the wedding and I spill the tea on this. Oh, this was... He told Kiki Palmer, who was guest hosting on Strahan and Sarah, that he had said on a podcast that they hadn't been legally married. I think that was supposed to be saved. I think that's a plot line in the next season of Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, and then he got in trouble for
revealing
it.
And then I think he kind of knew that because he was maybe there. He's on the show because he's friends with these idiots. And then he was like, oh, oops. And the producer was like, you can't just, that's like one of our big plot lines.
That makes more sense.
Right.
That makes so much more sense.
Does it?
Because
make,
I was like, why would he lie about that? And why would he get that weird information? It must be true. And if it's true, it's true for a reason.
Right. And he said, they did not send in their materials right. So they are not married, he proclaimed, adding in the relationship was might be a little storyline on season 8, which means it definitely is. And that's how they're going to stir up like drama. Vanderpump Rules desperately needs drama. Now they're all like married and boring kind of. So that feels like one of the things. Anyways, so they maybe did their paperwork wrong. The other reason to not be legally married is you did your paperwork wrong. That's wild.
Eh, who cares? I don't need to fix it.
Who cares?
But then moving on, while I was looking for other instances of this, I was like trying to find other instances of this, and I found the story that we somehow missed. We didn't talk about it last year, and this was news at the like last fall 2018. Gina Davis and her husband, like long time, sorry. Not even husband. This is where things get dicey. Gina Davis and this guy, Reza Jarahi.
Her ex-boyfriend.
Her ex.
You're like, what do we call a man who's not
what
your husband?
What do we call him? I'm sorry, my fault. Gina Davis and this guy, Reza Jarahi. He's like a hunky neurosurgeon. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like his very successful, very busy, nothing to do with Hollywood. There's very little to know about it because he's just kind of a successful doctor, right?
Yes.
Done. Okay. They have kids together. Okay, fine. They've been together for like 16 years. Okay.
Wow, yeah.
Whatever. So at fall of last year, they were like, Gina Davis and Reza are divorcing. Wow, sad news. They were together for so long. But everyone was sort of like, number one, who cares about Gina Davis? Not that I don't, but, you know, who cares about Gina Davis? She's not
getting she's not particularly
interesting. And who cares about this divorce? Because this guy isn't famous.
Right.
So, and also, there's no drama in it, right? There's no cheating. There's no, like, oh, one of them comes out as queer. Like, there's nothing interesting about it. Right. So no one pays attention.
Queer.
But you know what I mean? Like, nothing interesting. Nothing comes out of this.
Yeah.
Then the immediate next headline is, so he filed for divorce, right? The Reza. He files it. And then Gina's like, not so fast. Don't file divorce documents because we were never married. She was like, we were together for all this time. We were cohabitants. We have kids together, but we were never married.
Wait, this is and so like,
then it became this funny thing. Do you think
it's because he didn't know? Like, he didn't realize that she had never sent in the documents?
That's no,
a very, like, man thing to do. It actually
gets really interesting. And so then the because they're giving these dueling stories, I presume they have dueling publicists at this point, or maybe he's doing it himself, right? The doctor, because why would he hire help? Yeah. And he's like, I don't know why she's saying this about me because we got married. I have photos.
Like, there was a wedding.
There was a wedding. Yeah. We got married in the Hamptons. Then suddenly the blast gets the blurry photos of this wedding. And they're like, look, it's the photos of the wedding. But then Gina's like, check the documents. You won't find a license. You won't find anything. And he's like, no, it's not true. Then the blast gets finds these tax returns. And in the tax returns, he has this document from 2012. And he says, I filed my 2009 tax returns as a single individual because I am not currently married. Miss Davis and I cohabitate and co-parent our three children, but we are not officially wed. So he's already contradicted himself in the past.
Can by I say saying something else? A little fun fact. This was her fourth husband.
This was her
fourth husband. Okay.
He was married to Richard Amolo, Jeffrey Goldblum, Jeff Goldblum, and Renny Harlin, who's a movie director.
She's married to Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah, they're married. Hot minute. The Fly.
That's a hot minute. That's a hot quick minute.
That is the hottest minute.
Yeah, the hottest minute. Truly the hottest
That is the hottest.
Of the altest timeline. Just the craziest timeline. Okay.
It's an extremely hot minute.
It's crazy. Also amazing. I can't believe we missed this because The Blast is reporting on it. I love the Blast gets involved. They love documents. They're like, documents are documents. I got to find the other documents. You know, they love documents.
So this guy's out here saying, like, she's being bizarre, but then everything, all the facts disprove what he's saying and prove what she's saying. And then even the photos don't prove anything because he says that at the time, the reason they had this Hamptons wedding but didn't actually file the marriage license was because Gina wanted privacy. And the moment you file a wedding license, it's public.
Right.
And then the paps would find out. So they just never did their marriage license. And that's all that he's... So because this story like quickly got extinguished and did not become a thing after this like initial back and forth, I just assume that it was handled like... they came to some sort of mutual agreement and like it was not interesting, but
I mean, I just feel like he also says, did she lie to everyone when she told them we were married? I certainly intended to marry and believed I was marrying Gina, and our early history together and Gina's own statements and interviews she gave to the press supports that this was her intention as well. Any suggestion that we gave no intention of getting legally married is absolutely untrue. But the point was, you got married in a ceremony and you didn't check the no one sent the license in, and that's
and they were like, who cares?
Yeah, that's
like
on
these
Gina.
Two like individually rich successful people probably weren't as worried about like combining things.
I guess the point is though,
most people would
do you think though that they're gonna try and argue? So it says legally Reza's lawyers argue that according to New York law, the ceremony was in New York in the Hamptons, a marriage license isn't needed to be quote unquote married. His legal team points out a marriage in New York is solemnized when the parties solemnly declare in the presence of a clergyman or magistrate and the attending of the witnesses, they take each other as husband and wife. He's asking a court to throw out her motion to dismiss the divorce. So he's saying, and I was going to say this to you, isn't there like common law marriage too? Like you've been together.
Well, of course, but that's like, that's state by state.
Right.
And I was looking, I tried to find like the conclusion of this and I couldn't find it anywhere. So if there are any lawyers in the house or if you're Gina
Davis. Basically, his lawyer was trying, I wonder how this, we don't know how this
case turned out. If we got Gina Davis in the house, give us a call.
Wait, so we don't know how this turned out?
I tried to find out and suddenly the stories just came to a halt.
Yeah.
So that's sort of another thing that I assume that the lawyers agreed, like, we have to stop talking about this publicly.
Because it's stupid.
And so it's suddenly so just like the spigot was turned off.
It's so stupid. And,
yeah. But it's really funny. And she's like, he's like, I don't know why she's saying this. And then there's all these documents of him saying exactly that.
Right. Right.
Anyway, moving on. Are there more wedding stories? Yes, there are.
Are there?
Heidi Klum and Tom Cowlett, speaking of marriage trends, we were talking about this current marriage trend, which is not actually getting married. The new marriage trend, the additional marriage trend, is getting married twice. And so Tom Cowlett and Heidi Klum got married again.
But when just did like Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin. First time? Is it because they got their license? They got like legally married. Now they're having a wedding.
Still counts. It's two marriages. Two weddings.
It's like you get your license and then you have another.
They had their secret, because you have your secret wedding first where you get the license and you make it official with your friends and family. Then you have your public wedding. Right. God, we're talking about this as though it's normal. This is a new trend. Wedding followed by the public wedding.
It's not surprising to me. It's like you get the license because you need health insurance. You need to figure, a lot of this happens a lot of people. So then you say, when we're ready, when we have money, when we're da-da-da, we're going to have our wedding. And I feel like celebrities do it because the buildup to the wedding is so stupid that I feel like they're just like, okay, let's just do this first part. And then the press won't really know when we're going to get married. So then maybe they'll leave us alone. Although, honestly, these photos are definitely sold to like some newspaper. Yes. Like who'd she sell these to? People?
Speaking of relationships.
Yeah.
Look at what I just dropped in.
Let me see.
Kathy Lee Gifford has a new man.
Wait,
and his name is.
Oh my God. Wait, I'm clicking.
Randall. Parentheses, Randy Kronk. He's 56. He's an insurance fucking agent from Spring Hill, Tennessee. He's referred to as a mystery man.
Randy Kronk?
And they were getting hot and heavy on the dance floor at some county fair this weekend.
Wait, where? How? Does Kathy Lee live in Tennessee? Where does she meet these men? God, she
I don't know what to tell you.
She is fucking on retirement. She's on one.
Lindsay, do you know where they were dancing?
Exclusive.
At a Journey tribute band
awesome
concert.
Dance partner tonight. The mystery man seen grinding and kissing with they former Today Show host Kathy Lee Gifford, 65, is a 56-year-old insurance agent from Tennessee. Kathy
Randy
Lee Gifford was in high spirits as she rocked out with a mystery man at a Journey tribute band in Franklin, Tennessee on Sunday. DailyMail.com can reveal the man is Randy Kronk, 56, an insurance agent from Spring Hill, Tennessee. The former talk show host snapped her fingers, grinded and laughed as she swayed to the music with her new man. Yes. I mean, Frank's been dead for 4 years. It's time to move on.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Incredible. Kronk is a president of the RMC Insurance Group, part of Nationwide Chain. He graduated from the University of Southern Mississippi in 1986, the year I was born. He lives 35 miles from Nashville, where she lives. But how did she get to a Journey?
Yeah, Franklin's sort of just like a fancy suburb of Nashville.
So do you think they met here? No, they must have met somewhere else.
They must
she's
have met
having a great time.
They must have met in Nashville.
Ooh, she's kissing him. She's smooching him.
Well, of course.
She wore hair in a low ponytail and a loose blue white printed dress.
Oh. Kathy Lee Gifford is one of those like very... She's like an extremely judgmental, like good Christian woman.
Also
like extremely horny.
Yeah.
You know?
She said, a month after her retirement, Gifford told People magazine that she was finally ready to begin dating, but asserted, I'm not interested in something that isn't magnificent. Do I need that companionship? Yes, I do. And that's one of the main reasons I moved to Nashville. Not that I'm looking for a man. What I'm looking for is an active, vibrant life.
Well, I got to tell you, this looks magnificent to me. Randy Kronk. I love that name. And he's
Randy
an insurance salesman
Kronk.
From Tennessee.
Randy Kronk. Randy Kronk. Randy Kronk.
The question, the page 6 headline is, does Kathy Lee Gifford have a new man? The answer is yes.
Also, don't forget, Frank cheated on her a while back.
Frank sucked.
Yeah. Oh my God. Don't speak ill of the dead, please. Not on this
Why
podcast.
Why not?
Not on this podcast.
Why not?
Okay. Next.
Vet bills can be expensive, but Spot Pet Insurance can give you up to 90% cash back on vet bills, so you can worry less about high vet bills. Yep. Up to 90% cash back on vet bills for unexpected accidents, illness, and even routine care. And with Spot Pet Insurance plans, you can go to any vet you want in the U.S. or Canada. There's no network you need to stick to, so visit your favorite vet, and you can save money on expensive vet bills. That's Spot Pet Insurance. It's no wonder Spot is America's favorite pet insurance. Visit spotpet.com for a free quote today. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Spot Pet Insurance Plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produce Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. This is an independent ad from Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Journey.
Yeah, I had this link here because Jennifer Garner went to an ice cream factory.
No, I don't want to click on this.
Yeah, don't click it.
Yeah, I don't want
to click on this. So there's another trend that I noticed, which isn't really a trend.
What, celebrities going to ice cream factories?
No, it's Milo Ventimiglia is promoting his dog movie.
That fucking dog movie.
The Art of Racing in the Rain, where Kevin Costner is.
I saw a really
Zimbo.
Funny.
Zimbo, what's his name? Wait, as Enzo. Enzo.
I saw a really funny, I follow the AP, like AP Entertainment photos on Instagram, because they're just, uh-huh. Sometimes you see like funny press photos. And they posted the photos of the cast, including the dogs, and they listed off the actors' names. And then someone commented, "You forgot the two stars. What are their names?" Like the dogs. And then the AP like adjusted their caption to be like, "Sorry, we forgot the name of the two stars," and like put their names in. I think their names are like Barkley and Barkley or something. Not Barkley and Barkley, but it's like something and something. The dogs.
You don't remember the dog's name?
Ugh, I mean, I guess I could look it up, but like, I'm busy, you know?
Milo Ventimiglia promoting his new dog movie. The one where the dog is Kevin Costner and finds out.
What's the trend?
Remember how the dog sniffs out the cancer in Amanda Seyfried?
We've talked about this movie so much for a movie that we're both never going
to
see.
It's not really a trend. It's just that Milo's on tour and he has to give like new facts to everyone.
Oh, and he's probably so miserable, right?
He's just like giving so many new facts. And the funniest new fact that he revealed is that he was apparently in the running or was trying to get in the running to be Batman in the new Batman. And he was told he was too old. And he told someone that, and that got a ton of headlines.
Well, this is great because the Variety headline is Milo meant to be, oh God, do we know how to say his last name? Let's just.
Ventimiglia.
Milo Ventimiglia. He's okay. Quote, okay. After he's Warner okay. Brothers told him he's too old to play Batman.
He says, Ventimiglia said, they said, after he, quote, threw his name in the ring for this.
Love throw your name in the ring. His agent said, hey, could my client Milo play Batman?
Hey, Steve and Sam Warner.
Right.
Can I be Batman? And they said, quote, Ventimiglia, no. You're too old. First of all, I don't think they said the word Ventimiglia. I think they said, Mr. This Is Us, you're too old.
I was. I was one of them. I was one of them.
So you did your time in the superhero world. You want to do more of that? Could you see yourself in one of the big superheroes?
Do I see myself in a cape and a cowl?
Yeah.
Warner Brothers didn't, so. but I don't know.
Tell me about that Warner Brothers experience.
Which Warner Brothers experience?
Well, you said Warner Brothers didn't want to see you in the cape and the cowl.
They were looking for a new Batman. Yeah. And they said Ventimiglia, you're too old.
And I went, what?
Oh, cool.
How old were you at the time?
This is like a few months ago.
What?
Yeah.
This town is ages.
No, it's okay. It doesn't matter. By the way, I'm kind of busy. So that's
you
okay.
Are kind of
I'm
busy.
Kind of busy. It's okay.
By the way, I'm kind of busy.
I mean,
this dude seems like the biggest asshole. No offense.
I kind of feel like that was a joke. That's a joke.
He seems so smug.
He does seem smug. He called his character, Denny is a simple guy who loves his car's wife, kid, and his dog. He's not a complicated man. God.
Related.
I just feel like it's weird that Milo keeps doing entertainment that is so fucking lame. Sorry. Like, why does he not?
That's where the money is.
I know, but it's just like, it's so another lame movie. Like
another lame story.
Yeah.
On Us Food from yesterday, Milo Ventimiglia's dad cared more about National French Friday than his son's first Emmy nomination.
What? Like?
He tried to call his dad that he got nominated for an Emmy, and he said, on the day that Milo got nominated for an Emmy, his dad went on Instagram and posted about National French Friday, but he didn't post about Milo Ventimiglia, which makes sense.
I just love it. Then this People headline, Milo Ventimiglia says it's amazing to work with dogs on The Art of Racing in the Rain. And further down it says, I love dogs. I don't have time for dogs. It's been a while since I've had a dog, but I love dogs. Bitch, shut up. He's dull. Let's move on.
One more thing. Okay. The related story on Variety says, related, The Art of Racing in the Rain will leave you in tears, says star Milo Ventimiglia. It's like, no shit, it will leave you in tears.
Oh, great. You did So wait, you sign up for another piece of content in which you do a thing that leaves people in tears? Stop torturing these baby boomers. Do not need you to keep making them cry. They have enough problems. It's enough.
Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
and
up.
And we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
of
that.
Their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories.
Any
the
good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. It helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers for years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase.
Enough.
You know what else I've had enough of? Anthony and Jonathan Van Ness.
What?
Justin Van Ness.
Anthony Porofsky
because
and Jonathan Van Ness. Queer Eye.
Of Queer Eye fame. They are cooperating a satirical couple account. They're cooperating a satirical couple account, but they're not together. They're just cooperating a satirical couple account. Those are Jonathan Van Ness's words, not mine. Not mine.
So
not mine.
Like,
they're cooperating
what?
A satirical couple account.
Did people know that this was something that they were cooperating together, or did they reveal it?
They thought because of the couple account that they were together, but it turns out the couple account was really a satirical couple account, and they're not actually together. They just think it's fun to make people think that they're together. Do you
Wait,
see what's happening here?
I
they wanted headlines, Lindsay. They wanted attention. They wanted attention.
I think what happened actually was that there was an Instagram where they were holding hands and people thought they were together, and the couple account came second, or the couple account was something that people they didn't realize was them, and then they said it was us.
This is a chicken and egg
I don't know
thing I do not care about.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm like, I wish
were,
I could.
But the rumors were because of the way that they comment about each other, and I think it started with the Instagram.
Maybe.
Because the bio is a love that is.
I mean, can
Doesn't
I say though,
like this is a satirical
if any two of that cast belong together, it's these two fucking fame monsters, because
they
both really
want it
are
more than the other
on
ones.
The same wavelength. They are on the same wavelength, and that wavelength is
that wavelength. When I hear it, it makes me poop. It's the brown note.
It's
the
brown
wavelength
note.
Is the brown note. But the thing is, when you first sent it to me, it was from a headline that was like, Jonathan Van Ness and Anthony Porofsky are dating. And you sent me the headline.
For at least 3 hours or something.
And I was
people
like,
were literally reporting
okay.
that they were dating.
It did nothing to me. I was like, okay, of course they're dating. Like, they're coworkers. I don't know. Like, that happens all the time. It did
was,
nothing to me. And then
I was kind of shocked.
It didn't shake me.
I was kind
it
of
didn't
shocked.
Shake me.
Not to be like... not to be like the one who was affected by that news, but I was kind of like, what? Like, that cannot be. It just felt like that cannot be to me, you know?
It seemed so obvious to me.
And here's actually why I feel like that could not be. I feel like Anthony and JVN are kind of like in a race. And that's why this fake couple Instagram is kind of ironic. Like, I feel like they both individually watch the other one to see who will edge out the other one to be like the most successful queer eyer. Shadily,
yeah.
I think it's going to be Tan. Tan's gonna like zoom by them, but they see each other as the most kind of biggest likelihood to kind of quote unquote break out. And I think that it's like keep your friends close and your enemies closer version of this. Mm-hmm. So they're like, yeah, we're like fake together. We're a couple, LOL. Like, look at our ship account.
Look at our satirical couple account.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you think?
Look at our satirical couple account.
Satirical couple account.
I can't get over satirical couple account.
Couple account.
But they're not together. Satirical couple accounts? Satirical couple accounts? Whose? Before you even ask, they're whose?
Jonathan said, also for clarification, Anthony and I are a couple ... of very close friends who run a satirical couple account and may fall in love someday, but that day is not necessarily today. Love you, hoes. And then Anthony's response, which is kind of funny. Babe, what? Call me right now.
Lindsay? Lindsay, do not laugh at that.
I watched some episodes of the show this weekend.
Oh, I need to catch up. Ugh, I love that show.
You know, well, that's the thing. It's like, I
love that show.
I build up this kind of annoyance with them in their press tour, you know, because they're on this press tour and it's exhausting. They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're Energizer bunnies.
They are. They're very good at getting out there. And then I watch the show. I get annoyed and I go, these guys, what are they bringing to society? I don't like them. These Fab Five. And I watch the show and then I'm like, fuck, this is such a good show. It's a good show. And also in the show, Bobby, guess what Anthony does? He makes
rotisserie chicken.
Chicken salad out of rotisserie chicken. Hard eyes. An amazing recipe from Anthony Perofsky. Do you cry?
I've cried a couple times.
Do you cry? You do. You cry a little.
I always cry at the gay ones.
You cry at the gay ones.
I always cry at the gay ones. Oh my god, girl from last season.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I cried a little at the first episode of this season. It's where JVN goes back to his high school and does something for his teacher, his old teacher.
Oh.
And they make her look so good. To be fair, she had a mullet before, so it wasn't that hard to make her look good. I just am impressed at how, and I think I've said this before about JVN, is that his personality aside, which is like take it or leave it, it's up to you how you think.
Love it or leave
it. He's an incredible hairdresser. Like truly. No, seriously, like it's amazing to me how good, and this is always in the show, you always realize how good, how thorough, how good of a hairdresser he is. Incredible hairdresser. Incredible.
That's great.
Like Bobby too. Incredible in what he does. Here's a question for you. We are now, how many seasons into Queer Eye? Four, three?
This was four or five. Yeah.
But you know, they really tape it back to back.
They split them up, yeah.
How are the who them rankings of the, has the who them rankings of these men shifted?
I think all of them are thems.
No.
Now.
Yeah. No, not that Bobby. That show is Burke.
So big. Bobby. I didn't say last names. Said all of the Queer Eye people.
First name thems.
Are thems.
I would say.
First name thems. Oh, that's good. First name thems. They're first name thems.
I would say Queer Eye guys. Well,
Jonathan Van Ness is an acronym.
JVM
an acronym
is a them.
Them.
You think JVM is them?
Anthony? Name another Anthony. Mark? No. Anthony Perowski.
I don't know. That's a big leap. You think they're that culturally kind of in our...
I think they are all thems now, and I don't even think it's a question at
You know
what's
funny? Because you're right. They do span generations in a way that no other entertainment does. Mm-hmm. Like, young kids like them. You know, they do. And then boomers love
old
them.
Old people?
Love them.
People our age?
Why do I keep
bringing
up boomers? I'm thinking about boomers a lot recently. Can you tell?
Well, how can you not? They ruined the country.
Damn it.
Anyways... No, and I think they're thems. Do you not agree? Or do you think, did I convince you?
I mean,
I
do a lot
really
of work.
Make much of an argument. I just mean, like,
no,
look
agree,
around.
I agree. I think I thought.
It's very like Madonna sip, like, look around.
Do I think that they're going to be thems for like ever, like a long time?
No.
While they are on TV, while they're having this show, I think they are going to be thems.
Yeah. I mean, I'm...
What about a power ranking? We had one last time, I think, but I already forgot it. It was like JVN 1, Anthony 2, Tan. JVN, I mean, then Karamo, one. Then Tan, then Bobby.
Oh, God. Ooh, JVN and... JVN 1, I think there's probably like a three-way tie for number 2. I think it's like Karamo, Tan,
you
Anthony.
That is too...
Fine, then I would say number 2, Tan.
You think Tan rose up beyond Karamo?
Yeah. Mm. Well, Tan has that book
and
now.
And he has a new TV show spinoff thing.
He has the new TV show. And also Tan, I think,
Bobby remains at the bottom.
I just love tan. I love also. Tan too. I think this is my own bias coming through. Tan was amazing. When I met them, all of them but AV, JVN and Anthony, which honestly I think was...
Wait, that is so funny that you met the three, the three not monsters.
Yeah. Well, I think it was great. Nothing against them, but I think it was great that they weren't there because it would have been overpowering.
But didn't you say Karama was like electric?
Karama was incredible. Tan and Karama were presences. Bobby was extremely jet lagged and tired. And so it was really hard to get a read on him because he had literally landed from Hong Kong, I think. And he had landed, gotten off the plane, and gone. But you're
saying Karama and Tan gave you their all. And Karama and Tan were like,
they took my breath away.
You loved it.
Like in the way that they talked to you and the way that.
It's like when I met Kiki Palmer, you know, I was like, wow, like what a present.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you know, when people give a good hug, a good hug, it just makes you like, well,
especially
feel
for you
crazy.
Because you don't really like do a hug.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like if someone forces a really good hug on you, you know.
An amazing hug. Reminds me of the end of the movie Heart and Souls.
What happens at the end?
Kira Sedgwick is a ghost, so she can't hug Robert Downey Jr. Okay. But then at the end, the angel lets her hug him one last time before she goes to heaven on the bus. And she goes, I wish I could give you a big hug. And then the angel looks at God. God, I hate this. The angel looks at God and it's like, come on, like, do this for me. And then like, Kira Sedgwick can give Robert Downey Jr. a hug. And it's like this like beautiful hug.
Wow. That's
with
how
beautiful
you felt.
Mark Scheinman score.
That's
in the
how you felt hugging Karamo. Like an angel gave you the permission to hug.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. I'm just gonna get all choked up thinking about that scene from Heart and Souls.
This summer, Universal Pictures presents.
We can do this. This is gonna work.
Isn't it wonderful? I mean, the way the pieces fit, you and us.
From Ron Underwood, director of City Slickers.
Promise me you're gonna live the life that I didn't get to live.
A romantic comedy with heart.
You see, something good comes out of everything.
Heart and souls.
You know what doesn't make me choke up? Thinking about Willa Ford.
Can I just say something? Your transitions transitions are good, but sometimes when you cut things, like you have to cut segments sometimes, meaning you, meaning us, meaning me and you, your segments fuck up the cut so bad sometimes. They're wild.
Speaking of, beep, just like blot that out.
Speaking of something that you've never heard because I cut the previous segment, Willa Ford's an interior designer.
So I worked with Willa Ford a really long time ago on a project, and she actually did really, really well for me. She was actually a singer and had a big, big song and got out of the music business and got into the decorating business, and she does a really good job at it. So I'm gonna meet her at the design center and see if she wants to stage my Malibu house and possibly even be a design and decorator on my team.
Being on Scott's team would be amazing. I think he has such a sense of style that it would actually be a really fun collaboration for me moving forward.
I didn't really know, or I had forgotten, or I had pushed out of my brain that Willa Ford had pivoted from pop stardom to interior decorating. And do you know who didn't forget?
E.
E hired her to be the co-host or co-lead of the new Scott Disick spinoff, Flip It Like Disick, which honestly is an incredible idea. And the first thing that's gotten me reinterested in the Kardashian cinematic universe in a long time.
Are you going to watch Flip It Like Disick?
Well, I love home shows. Ugh, I've sort of fallen off the home show wagon, but I'm interested in this. I don't like the trailers kind of show the rest of the family being more involved than I think
I don't
they're going
want
to
them
be,
to
which
be
is
involved.
Good.
I just want Scott.
I don't want them there.
I like Scott.
I want Scott and Willa Ford flipping houses in Beverly Hills.
Is she like a lead?
I don't love Scott. Well, he's I think the business guy, and I think she's the brain. So she does the flipping, and he does the money. You know?
Yeah. I like this. This is interesting to me. I almost wish they paired him with an actual. Maybe she's very, very good. I just almost feel like it. Almost feels like a gimmick that it shouldn't. But it shouldn't be a gimmick. Like they should.
Right, and so I think she has an established. She has an established career, an established business. It's Willa Ford Interiors. Yeah. And it's been up since 2012, so it predates this for a long time.
To be Willa Ford and to name your company Willa Ford Interiors, you have to be just.
It's as good as any other name. It's like Jane Smith Interiors.
I understand, but when I'm looking through, you know, I want to get Willa Ford Interiors. I'm like, is that the Willa Ford? And then I just move on.
The per- I was about to say the exact same thing. It's the perfect name because you're like, I wonder if that's the Willa Ford. And then you move on past and you're like, I'm not interested enough to know. But it is the Willa Ford. Let's remind our listeners of who Willa Ford is. She sang the song, I Wanna Be Bad, and then she did nothing else.
Only really the true heads know what Willa Ford did. Like, you really have to be a pop kind of scholar to remember Willa Ford in her one song. I think she also dated Aaron Carter. Wait, let me just do a quick Willa Ford.
We've been singing a lot lately.
Yeah, we suck.
I wanna be bad. Mayfair look so good. I'm losing all my cool.
So she posts. I'm about to she break posts for Playboy, and she competed on Dancing with the Stars, which is iconic.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
But did you see the paragraph that I put in here where it was like, had you worked in any celebrity homes prior to the show? And these are the celebrities that she listed. I did Tom Higginson from the Plain White Tees. I also did Jonathan Bennett's home in West Hollywood. I've also worked on Andrelton Simmons' Orange County home and, quote, a couple of other retired athletes.
Of course. So those are her big names. She also played Anna Nicole Smith in the Anna Nicole Smith Story that came out in 2007, which I did not know and makes me want to die. And also co-starred Bobby Trendy as himself. And I swear to God.
Like a movie star?
Especially if you had some boobs. You should think about getting a set like these.
And it cost a lot.
Well, you'll make it back in tips in no time.
You think? And 3 months later, I finally got me that pair of new titties.
Daniel! Turn it down or turn it off!
The only thing hurts worse than getting new titties? Going to the dentist.
So Willa Ford has been doing it, the capital D and the capital I, doing it. Another fun fact about Willa Ford, did you know that? In 1999, the 18-year-old Ford started performing under the stage name Manda, spelled M-A-N-D-A-H, Manda. Ford was later dropped by MCA and signed by Atlantic. Atlantic placed one of Ford's songs, Lullaby, on the soundtrack for Pokemon, the first movie. Ford then changed her stage name from Manda to Willa Ford to avoid confusion with Mandy Moore.
Are you kidding? No. And it all goes back to This Is Us.
That's so funny to me.
Wait, what's her real name?
Willa Ford. Amanda Lee Williford. Wait, her last name's Williford? No, I want to die. I want to die.
Oh my
what
God.
What the fuck? I'm still crying.
Williford. Is that the only version of this? Is the only instance of splitting your name in two to have a surname?
That's like in a movie, like, what's the Tom Hanks movie based on the book that was huge?
Captain Phillips?
No! What's the mystery movie where he's...
Sully.
No, he's trying to find out the mystery.
Angels and Demons. No. Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code. This is like the Da Vinci Code where you find out who the demon is.
And it's like the thing you never noticed. The whole movie, you never noticed it.
And you're like, wait.
You never notice it. And then finally you like look at it and it's like, Williford. You're like, wait. And you get the beautiful mind music. Like, you get the beautiful mind music. Oh my God. Willa Ford's name is Amanda Lee Williford.
Willa Ford.
Amanda Lee Williford. Oh my fucking God.
Willa Ford.
Okay. I guess before we go on to Rita, there's two more things.
There's one that's pretty funny. This one's funny.
Lily Allen. I don't think that they're dating. If they were like casually fucking, I would believe it. I don't think this is a long-term relationship. They're probably just like fucking. It's fine.
I hate it.
Lily Allen of 2005 fame.
of the song "Fuck You, Fuck You Very, Very Much." Remember that song?
Yeah, of course. What's the other one? I'm a fat man. What's that one? A smile, smile.
Lily Allen is kind of like very popular in England. And like kind of only crossed over here in alt, kind of in, if you were kind of more into like
alt pop,
kind of underground music, meaning not underground, but you know what I mean. You were more into music than other people, but she was big in the UK.
Yeah.
And she went, so and Lily she was Allen always kind of tortured. Like...
Lily Allen may only be 24 years old, but this foul-tongued Londoner has already managed to offend a lot of people.
Are you going to have another drink?
Off, Elton. You know what, I'm 40 years younger than you. I got my whole life ahead of me.
Even in the company of rock royalty like Sir Elton John, pop music's newest wild child won't be tamed.
I can still snort you under the table.
Yeah, she was like, she's been treated really badly. She's very public.
And he was shit and all that.
She's very open about her life. She's very open about her problems. And she's sort of like trying to grow up and be like a more like, I don't know, buttoned up adult who's not constantly like kind of a mess, because she's kind of notoriously a mess. And like she's starting a business. She's starting a sex toy business.
Wait, what?
Apparently.
Can you just read the headline?
So the headline is Lily Allen attends a West End play with Stranger Things pal David Harbour, parentheses, and leaves halfway through it, .. after announcing she is in the process of developing a, all caps, sex toy.
What? What?
She's developing a sex toy while she was performing. While she was performing, she announced, quote, I'm developing a sex toy. It is a clitoral massager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I probably shouldn't talk about it. I haven't done a press release or anything like that. Orgasms are important, ladies. And I feel like the celebrity sex toy market hasn't been capitalized
okay,
upon.
That is incredible.
Okay, smart. Hello,
but that's
sharks.
An incredible thing just to say casually. No, hello, no other sharks. Celebrities have sex toys. I think it's about time that I step up into that role.
So David Harbour is dressed like a... I don't... No, he's very disheveled. Mm-hmm. Lily Allen is very put together. It says Lily looked smart in a gray sweater with a long black skirt and black pumps. David was a lot less smart in a baseball cap, black jacket, and a pair of electric blue checked trousers. I don't know. They probably fucked.
I hate that. That.
Can I say that?
I don't know, but I just it. Gives
I feel
me
like
the,
he's a very horny.
It gives me the shivers.
I feel like he gets around.
Didn't he have a girlfriend that he David took Harbour on the Greenpeace thing when he did the Greenpeace thing? All right. Well, I guess they're not.
I just feel like he seems like the kind of guy who gets around, and he's currently getting around Lily Allen.
I fucking hate it. I don't like it.
Mostly,
I
it's just, it's very Mad like Lib. The whole thing is extremely Mad like Lib. It's a very classic Daily Mail Mad Lib headline. Joshua Jackson, have we talked about Jodie Turner-Smith before?
They've been together
for a little bit at this point. The reason his relationship status is always in news is because his and Diane Kruger's relationship was always one of those like long-lasting Hollywood relationships.
We loved them together.
Like, look at these hunky people. They're both so hot and they've been together for more than 10 years. We cannot stand it. Then they broke up.
But she immediately...
She probably fill in the blank. She suddenly has a baby with Norman
Reedus. Norman
Reedus
like appeared before they broke up somehow. And everybody was like, side eye. I think we said this more explicitly in another episode. I don't know why we're like holding back. But it was like kind of a shady thing.
People are weird about that relationship.
But
Diane
and Norman are still
together. I feel like I shouldn't be treading into those
waters. And they have a kid.
Meanwhile, Joshua Jackson, hunky and desirable
so
as ever,
hot, so
now,
hunky, deserves better than somebody who shadily moved to another boyfriend maybe while they were
and
still
apparently
dating.
this person is better. This her name is Jodie Turner-Smith. They've been dating for a while. They're very cute together. And the headline in the Daily Mail is Joshua Jackson seen wearing same outfit 2 days in a row while shopping with new girlfriend Jodie Turner-Smith. And his outfit is, I don't know what the pants are, presumably jeans, and a yellow t-shirt that says rice.
I just love
peas.
This because if you were gonna wear the same shirt twice in a row, like in their paparazzi photos of you both days.
Make it like a black
don't wear
shirt,
a bright yellow shirt that says shirt. Rice and peas on it. You know? It just cracked me up. That was like funny. I guess it's not as funny as I thought. It's just funny. He chose the most obvious piece of clothing to wear twice in a row to the point where the Daily Mail would notice it. You know?
Oh, she's playing Grace Jones in Queen and Slim. Is Queen and Slim Lena Waithe?
It's Lena Waithe.
So she wrote it, but then who directed it?
But
it's a woman.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a debut director for a woman, so it's like a big deal, this movie. And she's in it, but she's not the lead. She plays Grace Jones in it. That's funny. He's going to be in Little Fires Everywhere. I didn't know that.
He plays Reese Witherspoon's husband. It's just a huge role for him. Because I don't know if anyone watched The Affair out there. I did. He was really good in it, but The Affair got really bad.
Did you read Little Fires Everywhere?
No, was it good?
So good.
Really? So should good. I read it?
It's like as good. Like it's like, it's, read it? I think it's still like on the
Queen
best,
of Slim, though, it's Jodie right. Turner Smith and Daniel Kaluuya. That's going to be really fucking good.
Yeah, it looks
and
really
that's
good.
Out soon-ish because it has a trailer, I think, already.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an awardsy
Me
thing.
Too. But they're a cute couple.
It's going to premiere at
I
some
stand
festival.
Them as a couple. No, I really cute. Like them.
I do not stand Lily Allen and David
No,
Harper.
But I stand Joshua Jackson and Jodie Turner Smith.
Want to do reading?
Yeah, I do. Very much. What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to? Who is this woman?
She's in Ibiza.
Ibiza?
She's wearing, quote, Nike's popular dad shoes.
Says who?
I think this was Inquisitor.
Okay.
So she was wearing Nike's in Ibiza.
Okay.
I wore some sneaks in Ibiza.
Okay.
She also, quote, believes her sex appeal oozes out of her pores and says, quote, I really rely on that.
Wow. Okay.
A Metro headline.
Okay.
Rita Ora believes her sex appeal oozes out of her pores and says, quote, I really rely on that.
I mean, that's
fair.
True, though. And also, I want to say, speaking of Ibiza and like other places in Europe that are trendy, a friend of ours was at a pride in, do we know where he was?
Amsterdam. Wasn't he in Amsterdam?
No, I think he was somewhere else. Whatever. And he said,
Madrid.
I heard this maybe 10 times at Pride yesterday. So good. And it was Ritual.
Ritual.
A pride them.
I told you privately, Ritual was really growing
privately.
On me because I didn't love it at first.
I told you privately.
Well, no, I just mean like off the mic. One casually, like we were probably like eating lunch. Like I was like, I like Ritual now. And you were like, it's good. And
no,
that was our conversation.
I think Ritual had the distance, grew. It was a slow grow. Mm-hmm. But I think DJs and especially people who know, love music, were like, this is
Rita's
good.
Rita's getting better and better. I'm not sure if that's a talent, but more and more Rita's songs are slow burns for me.
Slow burns. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the song that eventually turned into the ad for Dubai. Love that song now.
Do you?
Yeah, I love it.
She also, she debuted her Dykeman, what? Brand ambassador and face of their AW collection. Okay, so just Rita's
I'm
getting
just
more
like,
money for being hot.
She does all of these.
Can
she's
I ask
in a brand.
A question?
How many ambassadorships does she
Can
have?
Can I ask a question? When you pick up a new ambassadorship, does it devalue your old ambassadorships? It must.
That's a really good question.
Because if I'm thinking...
No, I think it amplifies the ambassadorship.
No.
I think it...
But what if I get confused? I'm like, well, Rita is the face of this and this and what else and what else? Like, right? You need exclusivity.
I guess you're right. If Jennifer Aniston started doing Smart Water and like Beyond Meat,
yeah,
like a meal and a drink, I'd be like, wait...
Right, you'd be like,
I thought you were about moisture. I thought you were about hydration.
Rita,
not protein.
Literally,
you're right.
Has done so many different fashion things that it's almost a little bit confusing. Like she's not, it's not defining her in a way or to helping the brands. But you know, I don't know. Like what? What is Dykeman?
That's a fair question. I don't even know what Dykeman is. The only other thing she did, well,
oh,
apart
boots.
From the closer,
footwear.
She got tie-dye nail art, which honestly looks like Lisa Frank. It doesn't look great. I don't love it. I know tie-dye's extremely
trendy.
Why
are there
right
holes
now,
in the
they
nails?
Look insane.
They have
the holes really scare
they have
me.
Hearts at the end of the nails, like holes. You know that disease that people have where they don't like holes?
The tryptophobia?
No.
Isn't like tryptophilia?
No, that's tryptophan, like when you eat turkey. You're talking about, yeah, it has a name, but it's like when you see all the pictures of
it's Trypophobia.
This gives me that. These holes, I don't like them.
I hate
yeah,
it.
I don't like holes. The holes.
I feel like they're going to get stuck on something and they're just going to rip her nail right
so
off.
So they're tie-dye nails. They're very long. And at the end, they have little hearts cut out in them, like punch holes punched in.
Hole
I don't
punch.
Love it.
Ugh. Let's talk about the main event.
This is amazing for me personally.
Diane Keaton's son.
Whose name is Duke.
Duke.
Posted.
Somehow met.
A photo where he met Rita and Kara. Incredible. And then the
Kara as in Delevingne.
Delevingne.
Rita as in Aura.
And Diane, of course, reposted it. She made it black and white. That's nice of her. She gave a little bit of a vibe. I think her whole actually feed is black and white.
Well, she loves black
and
white.
She said, at Duke Keaton died and went to heaven, at Rita Ora and at Cara Delevingne could not have been sweeter, more down to earth and charming. Thank you. Very nice of her to say that. But the problem...
Lindsay Weber commented, wow. Nancy Myers commented, whoa.
People were not thrilled about it because she said died and gone to heaven. And a lot of people didn't like the use of like my son died. Even though, obviously, he did not die.
Oh, that's... You were trying to explain it to me, and I didn't really understand.
So half the comments are like, that's insensitive.
I guess it is a little insensitive.
I guess, but it's fucking...
Teeny tiny bit, just specifically on the day. It's
Diane Keaton. Like, if Diane Keaton, who's literally 70 years old, can't say died and gone to heaven, it's an phrase. It's a cat. It's a... What do you call it? An aphorism. Aphorism?
Well, yeah, I don't agree...
But you understand.
I understand why the commenters are doing it because the commenters love being very sanctimonious.
But it was funny because it was half people tagging Who Weekly and half people saying, how dare you? So does Diane Keaton know who Rita Ora is? But does she?
Wow. No. Does she know? Yes. But does she know? No.
Do you That's like the fact. If you ask Diane Keaton who Rita Ora is, she'd be like, that beautiful girl.
That beautiful girl that Duke posed
that
with.
That Duke loves. Duke
Cara's
loves her.
Friend. Cara's friend.
Duke loves Rita. With that.
She doesn't know who it
with
is.
With that.
Look at you saying with that. Oh, with that, we're done. I'll take over from here.
And meanwhile, you took it back.
Thank you for listening to Who Weekly. Well, last time you tried and you were like, I'm not good at this. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love it. And call in at 619-WHO-THEM if you want to leave questions, comments, concerns, or if you are a lawyer who knows about the Gina Davis case. We would love to know that. If you are Duke Keaton and you're a listener, if you're a hooligan, call in. And we just love to know.
Bye. Goodbye. Bye. Goodbye.
You will say that. Yo,
they want to know.
Wait, what's her real name?
Willa Ford. Amanda Lee Williford. Wait, her-